Turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 26. And I'll ask you to stand to read the God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and beginning at verse 16. Deuteronomy 26. 16, this day the Lord thy God had commanded thee to do these statutes and judgment. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgment, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord had avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he had promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he had made, in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he had spoken. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again this morning as we gather in your house on this first Sunday of 2019. And we thank you for that, Heavenly Father. What a better, no better place to be than in God's house on the first Sunday of the year. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and to remind us what you have done for us. But also, even as we heard Sunday morning in Sunday school, the importance of our responsibility in our walk before the Heavenly Father. And we pray, Lord, that you would meet with us. May the Holy Spirit accompany your word this morning, so that when we leave this place, we might say that God met with us. And the Lord, again this morning, we again will basically be addressing those that name the name of Christ and their responsibilities. But we pray for those that are yet outside Christ also, Lord. Again, we ask that if it be thy will, that some of the crumbs from the master table would fall upon the depth of the hearts of those that are outside Christ, that they might enjoy this new year in the grace of salvation. And so, Lord, bless this morning as we meet. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Please be seated. This morning, we're taking a break from our current studies from Psalm 118 as we speak on this first Sunday of 2019, and to speak on a promise proclaimed, or perhaps even could entitle it the true New Year's resolution, as we consider these verses in Deuteronomy 26. I had shared some of this many years ago in a New Year's Eve service, but I never really preached on this. But from this text, we'll look at five specific things. Number one, a particular precept in verses 16 and 17. Number two, a peculiar people in verse 18. Number three, in the first part of verse 18. In the middle part of verse 18, a promise performed. And at the end of verse 18, a perpetual profession. And then conclude in verse 19 with a persevering piety. The first thing we want to look at is a particular precept. And again, I came across this text many years ago in my studies and my everyday reading. And one of those texts that you underline and highlight and hope that one day you'll get to it to preach or to share. But anyway, I felt this past week that this might encourage us as we enter the year 2019 and leave 2018 behind. I know that when a new year begins, people make resolutions. Sometimes Christians, they try to make spiritual resolutions and seek to do those things that would honor God. And perhaps we did not accomplish those things spiritually in 2018. But it may God be pleased that it would burn in your heart this morning to fulfill it in 2019. We all know what heartburn is, huh? We all get it once in a while when we eat something and it just gives us that acid reflux. But what we need in 2019 is spiritual heartburn. Maybe in 2018 you wanted to read a particular book to encourage you. Maybe a commentary. Maybe you wanted to do a particular Bible study. Maybe you sought out to read the Bible through the Bible in 1 year. And For some reason, maybe you did not fulfill this, but don't feel like a failure. No, take now this new opportunity in 2019 to fulfill your spiritual goal. I put on Facebook this week a quote by John MacArthur that I really love. He says, quote, "If you're going to have a New Year's resolution, resolve to be pleasing unto the Lord," unquote. And that is true. So in this 2019, renew your spiritual goals. I think of the Apostle Paul's words there in Philippians 3, which I think are very applicable, when he wrote and said, "Not as though I had already attained or either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I also am apprehended of, Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Notice what he said. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul makes a very interesting statement, and he tells us that he was not perfect. And the reason I say this is because sometimes we have a bad habit of putting people in some sort of spiritual plateau, and we think so highly of them and think that they were perfect. And Paul is telling us that he was not perfect. Paul had his own failures, but he didn't give up. And again, perhaps last year you made some sort of resolution, some promise to God that you would do this for Christ. As I said, maybe to read the Bible, for the whole Bible in a year. Maybe to pray more, to witness more, to be a light for Christ. And for some reason, the spiritual goals were not accomplished in 2018. It did not happen. But 2018 is gone. Put it behind you. Don't live in guilt and in regret. Seek 2019 to accomplish these goals. Put those things behind you. Reassess, reassert, make new spiritual goals, and seek the grace of God to fulfill them. But again, don't mull on the past. There's so many people that are always living in the past. It's gone. You can never go back to it. You have an opportunity in 2019 to accomplish what you did not do in 2018. Again, or perhaps in 2018, you were blessed with great blessings and great times of joy. Now, I'm not saying that we are to forget what God has done for you, but on the other side, just don't sit in it without progress. You can't just sit on past blessings. Build upon it. Amazing how some people just hold on the blessing and they think it's going to continue forever. And like I said, maybe God blessed us in some areas tremendously. No doubt we can confess in 2018 His goodness was great, His grace was sufficient, His blessings unmatched, His mercies needed. But it's 2019, we need fresh grace, we need fresh mercy this year to continue. And so let us look to 2019 in fulfilling these spiritual goals. Again, I don't want to live in a blessing that God gave me last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Don't misunderstand, I am thankful. I'm so grateful what God has blessed me with and He has given me. But I need the freshness of God in 2019. The same thing, as I mentioned, don't live in your failures, don't live in your blessings. But now, look at 2019 as a fresh start before God. You know, in Psalm 81:10, part of that verse says, "Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it." And that's what we need to ask God to bless us like that. That's faith and trust, to have that hope and expectation for 2019. It's like, if you remember, when they were going to go into the promised land, and God was going to give them the manna as they went through the 40 years in the wilderness. And remember, they had to get it every day. How fresh. They couldn't live on yesterday's manna, because if they did, it was full of worms. Then on the Sabbath, the day before the Sabbath, they picked it up twice, so they wouldn't have to do it on the Sabbath. All I'm saying, brethren, is again, forget all your shortcomings. Forget maybe sin that affect you in the past. Forget your failures. Put them all behind you. press toward the mark. Put away what has happened in 2018 and let's look forward to the fresh blessings of God in 2019. Again, put away those things in the past. And now, what does Paul say? Press forward toward that prize. Again, he says there, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Interesting that this phrase here in Philippians 2, when he said, forgetting, Philippians 3, forgetting those things which are behind, he says, reaching forth. This phrase, reaching forth, is the Greek word epakatonomai. And it basically means to stretch forth by extending yourself, stretching out in a sense to overextend yourself. It's the idea, it's the picture of a runner straining every nerve, every muscle as he keeps running with all his might so he can get to that finish line, to get to that goal. And we all know when it's a very close race, when they come right to the line, what do? They extend themselves forward. They overextend forward. They stretch mightily forward to win the race. The runner stretches himself with all his might so that he might win. You see, in the Greek, when it says reaching forth, it is in the present tense that describes this stretching forth as being a habitual practice in our life, which should be our lifelong attitude in the things of God. Running the race, but wanting the race, what, to win? Exerting everything in our spiritual fiber that would help us to win that prize, which is, in the end, we know, Christ. Again, don't look back, my dear ones, to 2018 failures. But no, stretch forward, extend with spiritual conviction to reach those goals in 2019. You know, Ben was sharing on Monday night about the importance of winning. Amen, brother? But not just in sports, but winning souls to Christ. Maybe that's our goal for this year, to go out and do witness more for Christ. And so I would admonish you, set some goals for 2019. Meditate. Yes, it's good to remember what God has done for us as He watches over us. He protects us. He blesses us with so many blessings. He bestows us with His goodness and mercy. In Psalm 68:19, it says, blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. In other words, let us give unto Him 2019 to use us for His honor and glory. If we name the name of Christ this morning, let us then be that willing vessel. Let us be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. So let us be willing to sacrifice anything, everything, to honor and glorify our great God. And so, again, Paul there in Philippians 3, he's expressing himself symbolically in some sort of foot race, which clearly typifies his heart desire of having an intense yearning to press toward the precious prize that awaits us at the end of our spiritual race. So let us, who name the name of Christ, let us join Paul in this spiritual race in running towards that cherished and treasured prize, which no doubt is Christ. Here we see both Paul's humility and Paul's honesty as he confesses his inability or attaining any type of perfection. As we said earlier, we have a bad habit of putting people on some sort of pedestal. You know, and we perhaps have read the readings or the writings of Paul and we go, I'm sure Paul arrived. I'm sure Paul was perfect. I'm sure Paul had it all together. I mean, if anybody could boast, it probably the Apostle Paul. But Paul shows us here he was human, like all of us. In other words, his feet were also of clay, my dear ones. Paul confesses what? That he had not attained. Paul confesses that he was not perfect. Again, what honesty and humility. I mean, when Paul looked to himself, he saw his many imperfections, his many failures, his many inconsistencies. I mean, I'm not saying that Paul was not a spiritual giant, but Paul understood that whatever he was, it was not anything in himself, but because of the grace of God. And that's why he writes there in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Right. And so I thank God for what Paul said. So that none of us would put him on some sort of pedestal. But you understand, he said he had not attained, nor was he perfect. It is though what Paul is saying, dear Christian, get into the race. I ran it. Even though I have not obtained it yet, I was running the race. Again, it says there in Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I followed after it that I may apprehend that which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Here we see Paul's conviction as he says so clearly and so loud. Notice what he said, but I follow after. Notice again, I'm going to read it to you again. There it says, not as though I had already attained or that I was perfect, but I follow after. There's his heart. Here we see his desire, his dedication to run the race, his competitiveness to win, to run, to win. And as Ben was sharing with us also on Monday night, you know, in sports, you play to win. You just don't play to play. I mean, some of you might have, I don't know, I can speak for my only self and Ben can speak for himself. And some just go through the motions. But I think most have that desire that they do want to win. Matter of fact, when I used to coach basketball, I didn't always just get all the best players. When I was looking at the tryouts, when I saw players who couldn't dribble that good, who couldn't pass that good, you can teach those things. But when I saw him diving for balls, I said, "Ooh, I want him. Because he's got heart." Amen. You can teach him how to dribble. You can teach him how to pass. You can teach him how to shoot. But you can't give him that heart. Right. And that would make the difference. Might not be the best player, but we can teach him. But they had that heart. They had that heart. And there were times when I used to coach, I would ask the player, "Is your heart like my heart?" In other words, are we on the same page? Do you want to win? I mean, I don't want to spend all my time in practice. It's hot, we're sweaty, preparing for the game, and you're just going through the motions and you don't care if you win? Oh, no, no, no. I mean, not just play the game, but play the game with your heart. Do what is necessary to win. And if I saw those players going through the motions, my dear ones, I blow my whistles, and they all knew what that meant on the baseline. And they ran those hated horses. Because they knew every time when I blew my whistle, they didn't run that play the way it should be executed. You know, they just went, I don't care if it was just one. I would blow my whistle, everybody on the baseline. And they would do it again, and do it again, and do it again. And do it again. I mean, if we're just going to go through the motions, then why even try to play the game? I mean, if you have this attitude of, well, I mean, we win, we lose, I mean, we go through the motions, then, you know, I don't want to coach. I don't want to coach them. But if you have that attitude, I want to play to win. I know that your heart is in the game. But if it's not, you know, you're basically wasting your time and wasting less my time. And you know what? It's better if we just sit as spectators and watch the game. I mean, if you're not going to win, why? I mean, having the desire to win. And I know we can't win every game. That's understandable. But have that desire, the dedication, I'm going to do whatever I can to win. And Alex, in all the years that I coached, there were 10, 11 years that I coached, I never had a losing season. whether it was at Feast, at Casa, or even at Rainbow Hills when I coached. That year we won the championship at Rainbow Hills. You know? I never had a losing season. I never had the best players. But one thing, I pushed them to do the best and to give all of their heart. Now, there's no, and you know, at the end of the season, I would always give my end of season speech, and I would always remind all the players, says, there's nothing eternal about basketball. That's not going to help you get to heaven or whatever. And then I would start talking about some things of the importance of being in Christ and salvation and all that. But the whole point is, if I am so dedicated, brother, to win, even now, I'm be 65, I still want to play basketball. And if I play, I'm going to play to win, Brother Ben, not just to shoot. I won't say anything. Where's Quentin? Oh, he's not here, right? Amen. But I want to win. Now, if I do that in mere sports, how much more for the kingdom of God?
Amen, right.
How much more in those spiritual things to give my dedication, my whole heart to God? What does it do me to give my heart on a wretched court that has no eternal benefits? Oh, but to have that heart in our walk in the kingdom of God for the furtherance of the gospel. As Paul would say, running that race with the whole heart dedicated because of what God has done for us. Wow. My. And so if I have this attitude in sports, how much more in things pertaining to God? Yes, I want to win that spiritual race. I want to win. To follow hard after Christ. And again, I cannot stand lip service players. See, they all think they're Michael Jordan. Much less can I stand lip service Christians. Always telling you, always talking the talk, but they don't walk the walk. This was not Paul. Now, Paul might say, I have not attained, I am not perfect, but this thing I will do. I am resolved to follow after. Again, this conviction is seasoned with a character and commitment to follow after his God. You know, here in Deuteronomy 26, Moses again is giving his last charge to the people. And he challenges them as they prepare to enter the new land that flows with milk and honey. And may God be pleased to challenge us as we prepare to enter this new year. Notice again what it says there in Deuteronomy 26, 16 and 18. Notice what it says there at the very first phrase. This day, today. This day the Lord thy God had commanded thee to do these statutes and judgment. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Not just go through the motions of religion, my dear ones, but with the whole heart in it. Verse 17, thou hast avouched the Lord when this day again to be thy God. And to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, his judgment, and to hearken to his voice. Twice it says, this day. So God commands us also when this day, this morning, this Sunday, this first Sunday of 2019. And as we look to 2019, that we seek to walk in the ways of God, to keep the word of God. And to do it how? With all our heart and soul. With our strength and our mind. But this is basically the same thing that Paul said there in Philippians. It was with the whole heart. I mean, what a charge, what a challenge. Moses is encouraging the people of God to seek God's blessings as they look into the future of that new land. And I'm sure there was a lot of excitement. And I'm sure there was a lot of joy. But I'm sure there was also fear and doubt. There was faith, but I'm sure there was unbelief. Yet in spite of this, they must what? Continue to go on. And as we look into the new year, I'm sure there's excitement as we look to 2019. I know Jazz is with baby, and so I know she's excited. Amen? And there might be other things that people are excited. Maybe you're going to graduate from school this year or college or something, and you look forward to, but then when we look at 2019, there are also going to be challenges that await us. There's going to be trials, circumstances. We might have to go through some hard things. There might be blessings that await us also. But whatever lays ahead for us in 2019, in spite of all this, we must continue, we must persevere to walk in the ways of God in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Then in verse 17, there's a very interesting word. It says, avouch. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God. It is the Hebrew word amar. And it basically means to declare or to profess. It also means to charge, to speak, to utter a word. And notice what Moses is commanding them in verse 17. He is declaring unto them. He is challenging them. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be the God. In other words, they're professing, they're declaring, God is my God. God is my God. You are declaring, you have professed the living and true God to be your Lord. You have said that the Lord is your God. And if this is so, then we must follow suit and declare to obey and hearken to His voice. I remind you, at salvation, when God saved your soul, if you're a believer in Christ, when a Christian is saved, he makes a profession and he makes a pledge. At salvation, we come in repentance and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we seek to tell others what God has done for us. We start avouching. In other words, we start declaring, we start professing, we start witnessing to others what God has done for us. We profess this new birth. We confess the new birth. We avouch this new birth. We tell others what God has done for me, that God has saved me from my sin. If He did it for me, He can do it for you. Brother Alex, we're like the woman at the well there in John 4, brother. After the Lord saved her, she proclaimed uprightly. There in John 4, she said, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, come and see a man who told me all things whatever I did. Is this not the Christ? I mean, we go and we confess and profess what God has done for us. Matter of fact, we're told there in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast what? The profession of our faith. That's what the word avouch means. Profession of our faith. For He is faithful that promise. And so we have a profession, a confession to witness to others. But then we also have a pledge. There is a pledge in our hearts to follow Christ. You see, when we are baptized, at baptism, baptism is a public pledge that we are identified with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. And so we're giving a public pledge to people that I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my public pledge that I'm being identified with Christ to be one of His faithful followers. So there is a sense that it can be said of us that are in Christ this morning in verse 17. Thou hast avouched. In other words, you have professed. You have confessed. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God. And you are avouching and confessing what? To walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, and to hearken to His voice. Yes, this is our profession, our pledge. Yea, we have avouched these things to God. And this is why this is a particular precept. You are avouching, that is professing, confessing to follow God, to walk in His way, to keep His statutes, to keep His commandments, to keep His judgment, to hearken unto His voice. Why? Because of what God has done for you in the grace of salvation. I mean, what an overwhelming and tremendous responsibility before God and before man in our walk. Declaring to be submissive to God. Declaring, confessing to be submissive to His word. God commanded them. Moses commanded them. But the question is, are you willing to be submissive? I mean, who is willing this first Sunday of 2019? Yes, Lord, I seek to do what God says. And by God's grace, I avouch, I declare, I profess, I confess. That is, I will try to be submissive to God, to your word. Don't we declare, or perhaps we can say, don't we confess, don't we profess, or better yet, don't we avouch that the word of God is the rule and faith of our practice? What a challenge. What a commitment. Therefore, what blessed spiritual goals to have for 2019. And so may God encourage us as we enter 2019 that we seek to obey Him and His word, which we seek to do by His grace and for His glory. Now, this is not only a particular precept, but secondly, a peculiar people. God, when God saves His people, it is a peculiar people. Because it says in verse 19, and the Lord has avouched thee today. See, now God is pledging something to us. To be His peculiar people as He has promised. That thou shouldest keep all His commandments. You see, God's people are a peculiar people. And when I say peculiar, I don't mean a strange people, a weird people, an eccentric people, an eerie people. Though sometimes people that profess Christian, they kind of act like that. And I'm like, strange. No, this is not what is meant here when he speaks of a peculiar people. But it speaks of a people who are special in God's eye. A precious people. A happy people, as we heard Monday night, also on New Year's Eve. To think, my dear ones, those of us in Christ, that we are a valued possession in God's eyes, or if you wish, a peculiar treasure. Yes, again, those of you in Christ are a special and peculiar people who stand out to God as a precious gem, as a chief trophy, because of what Christ has done for us in the salvation of our souls. And by the look of some of you, I don't think you believe me. But I'll just read a couple verses. Don't turn there. I'll read them to you real quick. In the last book of the Bible, the New Testament, Malachi, he says, in chapter 3, then they that feared the Lord begged often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And God speaking, saying, the day shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spared his own son that served him. Yes, we are God's prized possession. We are the apple of his eye. We are to declare, to profess, to confess, to avouch our obedience to God. But what a blessing that God himself also now avouches to us. That is, he promises to us, he declares to us, he pledges to us that we are his treasure possession. We are his treasure. We are his possession. Yea, his chief trophy, his jewels. And the Lord had avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people as he had promised. You see, many times we read in the Word of God that we are to be reciprocating to the things of God. And a good example is this. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And so we avouch to God. Why? Because he avouched to us also. Right. It's a reciprocating thing. What a blessing. To think that God would avouch to us, to promise us with the blessing of preservation and protection in his glorious providence. We avouch to him. He has avouched to us. Notice again what it says at the beginning, verse 18. And the Lord had avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people. You see, this is not the first time God has said this. God has called them his peculiar people before. What a glorious declaration of God to us. For example, in Exodus, I'll read it to you, 19:5, it says, Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my commandment, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people upon the earth. Deuteronomy 14:2, For you are a holy people unto the Lord. The Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself. In Psalm 135, in the first three verses, he keeps saying, Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. All ye servants of the Lord, all ye that stand in the house of the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, sing praises unto his name. Then in verse 4 he says, For the Lord had chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. This term is also used in the New Testament in Titus 2:14. Speaking of Christ who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify it to himself. What? A peculiar people. And then of course, last but not least, in 1 Peter 2:9, You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye might show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. My dear ones, if you have been redeemed by the Lord, you are a special and peculiar people unto him. In Christ, we are precious before God. We are the apple of his eye. And so as we enter into 2019, let us remind ourselves of this often and be encouraged that we are God's peculiar treasure. I mean, this past week, last Monday night, people all over the world celebrated the coming in of the new year. And they were trying to undo each other. Okay? But let me just say, I mean, people might have been oohing and ahhing. Oh, ooh, ah, ooh, oh, look at over here. Oh, look at New York. Sorry, Gary. And look what happened over here. Look what happened over there. And we ooh and ah, the coming in the new year, things that happen. God is not impressed by all the pomp, all the glory, all the hype and any of that. No, 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 no. God this morning looks down upon his precious possession. His precious treasure, his peculiar people, his blood-bought people, and we stand out to him above all things. Not even the shiniest star in the heavens shine before him as his people do. God avouches his promise to us as his peculiar treasure that we are all special and belong to him in spite of all things. To think that we are the apple of his eye. To think that God looks down upon the earth and that we are his prized possession because of what Christ has done for us in the grace of salvation. The question this morning then is God your prized possession above all things? We know about God. But what about you and me, the name of Christ? Is God our prized possession? Oh, my dear ones, what precious promises to encourage us in our walk. Yes, we fail God at times, we come short, but nonetheless, he gives us that grace to sustain us and to keep us. And so as we look at 2019 again, forget what happened in 2018 and have a fresh start in 2019 and look forward. And I know I'm not going to finish my study this morning, I spoke too much about basketball, I guess. But I hope you got my point. And thus, there is a peculiar precept, a peculiar people. And then next week, we'll look at the promise performed by God, where it says, as he had promised thee at the middle of verse 18. And he fulfilled that in the sending of his beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll look at a perpetual profession, and that thou should keep all his commandments. And then, of course, in with verse 19, a persevering piety, that we should be a holy people unto God. But again, in the midst of this morning, just be reminded, as Paul said, forgetting those things, put them all behind him, I press toward the mark and follow after him. Let us be that people to follow after God. I was going to end this morning with 1 Chronicles 29. And I still want to just say a few things regarding 1 Chronicles in chapter 29. And I'll just look at one verse and we'll end here. It says in 1 Chronicles 29:5, we'll elaborate more on this next week in the first five verses. But to challenge you this morning, it says, who then is willing to consecrate his service when? This day, this morning, this Sunday, this new year. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? When you read the whole of the first five verses there in 1 Chronicles 29, there is a settled purpose, a willing service, an immediate service, and the highest service of the Lord, that it is unto the Lord. So then, who, my dear one, who then is willing to consecrate this day unto the Lord? May God add to the preaching of thy word, of his word this morning. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, that what you have wrought in our hearts and in our souls, yes, in the grace of salvation. But then, Lord, it is also our responsibility, as we have seen, where we avouch, we profess, we confess that we seek to follow you. And let us do it, O Heavenly Father, with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind, that you would be honored and that you would be glorified as we seek to walk in the path of righteousness for thy name's sake. And we know that we can only do this by your grace, because as Paul said, I am what I am because of the grace of God. And we pray for those that are yet outside Christ, that you'd be willing to even draw one this morning, that he can start this new day, this new Sunday, this new year, in the profession of the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, and they might join us in that spiritual race. And so, God, we ask this in your blessed and holy name. Amen.